Leadership isn't a race to become a top content creator. It's a journey in creating connection and fostering true audience loyalty. In this episode, I share the reasons why you're struggling to create content, why waiting for downloads is actually an excuse, the difference between creating for relevancy and creating for loyalty, a major, major reframe that will shift the way you look at content creation forever, and 5 tips to help you create content that actually fosters true audience loyalty. Now, if you dig this podcast and want to receive weekly leadership advice and inspiration, join my email community, rubyframon.com/subscribe. If you have a question about this episode or another episode, or you want to share with me your number one takeaway, shoot me a text. Yep, that's right. You can text me at 1-781-336-0160. Just remember to mention the episode number. Whether you're a loyal thought leader or a brand new listener, please take a moment to download a few episodes and drop a rating and review on iTunes. Now it is time to shift your mindset on content creation. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders. Now on the last solo episode, episode number 163, I talked about getting you and your mission into the spotlight. And today I want to focus on how to create content that actually fosters audience loyalty. Okay, there's a lot of people out there talking about content, coaching on content, teaching on content, and it's all great. It's all awesome. I've used a lot of these strategies and tactics, and I have something a little different to offer, a little different perspective on content and what it actually takes to create content that will cultivate a loyal audience, a loyal movement. So yeah, let's dive right in. Now in the world of digital media, where we find ourselves, it's a really interesting space to be, right? Because at times it can feel like everyone is yelling on top of each other on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter. And I don't know if you've experienced this before, but sometimes I'll go on Facebook and I literally start to cringe and have like this visceral response where I have to close the fucking window because it just feels like everyone's yelling on top of each other. Like, look at me, look at me. And it's this giant cry for attention. And yeah, it can be really overbearing that way, which is why as leaders, we get to show up in ways that are more responsible, in ways that really truly are social, hence social media, which means we get to actually connect with our audience. So let's start with how a lot of people are using social media. What I'm seeing is there's like this race, right? There's this race to become a content creating machine. And I was actually going to name this episode How to Become a Content Creating Machine, knowing very well that I was going to debunk that in the content, but just to get the clicks. But I decided to go with how to create content that fosters audience loyalty because that feels more an integrity. But there's a lot of people in this race to become content creating machines, churning content for the sake of numbers, right? They're churning content for the likes, they're churning content for the followers, they're churning content to get the subscribes, They're churning content for the sake of the algorithm. And in doing so, in this content churning process, what's actually happening is they're losing sight of their purpose and their vision. And maybe you've found yourself in this churning process. I know I have. I'll be the first to admit I have been there, done that. And it doesn't feel that great, because at some point in time, you're going to lift your eyes up from your screen and be like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, why am I posting today? I don't feel like posting today. I don't know what to post. Your content starts to lose potency. Your content starts to lose potency when you start to get into this churning habit, this habit of churning content. That's when your content and your messaging loses potency. And that's when you start to feel disconnected from your messaging and from your content. And again, like, I've experienced this firsthand. And I know a lot of you have too, where it feels like you're just posting for the sake of posting. You're just creating content for the sake of creating content. Sometimes it feels like you're flailing. You're just trying to find something to post. And then there are times, usually following this, where you feel really stuck and you feel super overwhelmed with the idea of creating content. And I've been there too. You know, you feel like this weird pressure to create content and you don't know where that pressure is coming from. Hint, hint, it's coming from yourself. You experience writer's block. I mean, I've even had clients say to me that, oh, I'm just waiting for the downloads, like the downloads aren't coming in anymore. And again, like, I've been there. I've said this to myself before, like, oh, the downloads aren't coming in. I must be blocked. My chakras must be blocked. I need to clear them. And no, that's not the case. From personal experience, it's not the case. Your chakras are not fucking blocked. Okay. Here's the deal. The more pressure you put on yourself to create content, the less space there is for flow. When you're putting an extreme amount of pressure on yourself to create content, you're not going to be tapped into your flow. You're not going to hear what your soul, what your actual inner voice is telling you, because you're putting pressure to create content in a certain way. You think you have to create content to fit a certain perception. You have to create content to appease your audience. You have to create content to get the numbers, to get the likes, to get the followers. You know, I mean, this is why with a lot of my clients, when they are in that sort of weird content churning, uncertain of how to use social media, bad relationship with social media space, I get them to take a social media detox where they have to take 7 days off, like completely off, 7 days off to get back in touch with themselves. And if you've never done a social media detox, I highly recommend it. Don't fear FOMO, because you're going to be feeling the FOMO, but no one else gives a shit. Okay. I've been gone for like 3 weeks at a time. No one gives a shit. Okay. that sounds kind of horrible when I put it that way, but really they don't. Their lives go on, and then you pop back on and they're like, oh, hey, there she is again. There he is again. So if you have never done a social media detox, I highly recommend that you do one. Anyways, back to the topic. I digress. So waiting for downloads is a myth. You're actually kind of cock blocking yourself from creating or tapping into that content because of all this pressure you're putting on yourself. Now, let me be real, because I did mention algorithms. Algorithms are real. Okay. Instagram uses them. Facebook uses them. YouTube uses them. Twitter uses, like, everyone, all of these platforms use algorithms. Right? Like on Facebook, the more people actually engage with your content, actually Facebook and Instagram, the more people engage with your content, like comment, share, bookmark, not just like, comment, share, bookmark, the higher your chances of showing up in the feeds. And then with YouTube, it's the watch time. How long are people watching your videos? So algorithms are real, but that doesn't mean you have to sell your soul in the content creation process. Okay. That doesn't mean that you have to lose sight of your potency or dilute your potency just to create content every single fucking day. Okay. Do not create content for the sake of staying relevant. and we hear people talk about this all the time, and I've talked about it all the time, you know, for relevancy. But don't create shit just to stay relevant, okay? Because if you are sharing diluted messages, like vanilla fluffy shit, because it's not really you tapping into your potency and you're just sharing shit for the sake of sharing shit, and you're sharing every day, you may not, or you're most likely not creating the same impact as if you were sharing something super potent, super real, because that actually creates the connection with your audience. So your audience is going to remember you and be loyal to you, even if you share less, but the content is more potent. Okay? So relevancy, throw that idea out the window or just reframe it. The relevancy is created through your ability to really connect with your audience. So there is a big, big, big difference between striving for relevancy and striving for loyalty. And in leadership, loyalty is really important. Loyalty requires connection, which means connection is really important. So in order to create connection with your audience online, you have to let yourself be seen, which offers an opportunity for your audience to see themselves in you. If you're constantly posting just vanilla cupcake shit that means nothing to you, but you're posting because you think it'll get you a lot of likes, that it might get you a few likes, but no one's going to remember you after that. You want to create potent messaging and potent shares that really connect with people, that offer people an opportunity to see themselves in you. Because at the end of the day, we as human beings all share this same desire. We all want to feel seen, heard, and understood, right? And so if you can offer an opportunity through your shares on social media for your audience to see, feel seen, feel heard, and feel understood, they're going to fucking remember you. They're going to feel loyal to you. You're going to become one of the favorite people that they follow because of your ability to create that connection. And it's not about creating that connection in a way that lacks integrity. You know, it's not about creating that connection and being fake or manipulating them or anything like that. No, this is about truth sharing. This is about storytelling. This is about being real. You know, my shares on social media, the ones that usually garner the most engagement. And when I say engagement, I mean like loyal, like real comments that are heartfelt, not just emojis or tagging their friends, but like real shares are the ones where I'm really sharing. They're the ones where I'm sharing a story, a personal experience, my own thoughts, my own opinions, my own insights. That, because that offers people the opportunity to see themselves in me or to really connect with me. So at the end of the day, this isn't about creating content. And here's where I was saying I'm different from all the others who are teaching content. It's not about creating content. It's about sharing. Now, I first had this epiphany. You know, this is what I've been doing actually in my own social media for a while, a long time. Like I first came out. Yeah, let me tell you this story before I get into anything else. I first came out, and when I say came out, like came out in full transparency on social media in 2012. 2012 is when I hit rock bottom. If you don't know my story, rewind back to episode 1 and go listen to it. But I hit rock bottom in 2012. And at that time I was working as a nightlife promoter and concert producer. And so I was producing, you know, large scale raves with up to 7,000 people, small scale concerts for like 200 to 500 people. And of course, weekend and weeknight club events. So I was super popular on social media for a plethora of different reasons than I am right now. And I was going through some real shit in 2012. I was an addict. I was just ended a very abusive relationship. I had just discovered that I didn't fucking love myself. I had just taken ownership for where I was in my life and realized that I had completely destroyed my life and my health and my relationships. I mean, it was a really dark, dark time. And it was also when I realized I didn't know myself. So for years before that, I wasn't I wasn't sharing my truth. I wasn't sharing my voice. I was always trying to be what other people, what I thought other people wanted me to be. So in 2012, I began this journey of really uncovering who I was, of discovering my voice. And through this process, I really wanted to hold myself accountable. And I really wanted to practice leaning into my voice. And so I started creating like these micro blogs and also quotes, which were back then were known as Rubyisms. And I chose Tumblr. Some of y'all may not know Tumblr, but Tumblr was the shit. A lot of people still use it, but it's basically like a microblogging, fun, fast-paced feed. But I chose Tumblr because that was the one platform I was not on. And so I wanted to kind of keep my identity hidden because I was talking about some real shit for the first time. I was talking about some real sad shit, some trauma, some wounds, what I was experiencing, what I was going through in these micro blogs. Some of them were very poetic. Some of them were just quotes, again, the Rubyisms. And when I started, one day I gathered the courage to share one of those posts from Tumblr onto Facebook. And that day changed everything for me. When that Tumblr blog became public and people started reading it, people in the nightlife scene, I started getting messages from people I barely knew, from friends that I did know, from super famous DJs whose shows I produced, all sharing their stories with me. It was like, it felt like as if by me sharing my story, it opened the door for them to share their story because all of a sudden they felt seen, heard, and understood through my share. And that opened the door for them to then share with me. Connection. My shares created connection. So this, you know, the Ruby that you see today, how transparent I am, this has been me leaning into my transparency and my voice since 2012. I've been working at this since 2012. As one of my closest friends and dear brothers of mine would say, I'm getting those reps in. That's Dr. Brett. I get those reps in every single day. I am sharing. I don't look at it as creating content. I look at it as sharing. You know, people, you can get stuck on creating content for consumption, or you can shift and start sharing for connection. And that's what makes this whole concept different. It's like content for consumption, which can create a disconnect and also an overwhelm, or sharing for connection. And by sharing, I don't mean you're sharing your story over and over and over again. Here's an example. I was just coaching on a one-on-one call with one of my leaders in the Thought Leader Collective last week, and he had fallen out of his habit of posting, and he wanted to get back into the habit of posting daily, especially because he was launching a new program. And so I listened to him. I heard him out. He was overwhelmed. He thought he needed a content calendar and a strategy. And then I said, wait, let's just pause. What if it's not about creating content? What if it's simply about sharing? What if it's simply about creating that connection with your audience? Like, what if you were to just share every day, like what your biggest insight was? Like, I'm sure you have an insight every day, right? And he was like, yeah. And his eyes went big. And he looked at me, he's like, yeah, that, wow. That just feels so much more freeing. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of freedom. When we look at social media as a space to share versus create content, okay, as leaders, yes, we are content creators, but I'd rather reframe that and say we are people with the courage to share and create connection. So refuse to get caught up in creating content for consumption and start to really get those reps in to share for connection. Now, I want to share with you 5 tips to help you create content that really fosters audience loyalty. Because for me, yes, like if you looked at my social media, Facebook and Instagram, you'd be like, wow, she has a lot of followers. I look at it and I'm like, compared to what? You know, like there's, I have friends who have like 95,000 followers. I have friends who have like hundreds of followers. And that's all fucking relative and it doesn't fucking matter. Okay. What matters are the connections that you create behind the scenes, because you can still have 95,000 followers and have not one of them invest in one of your programs or want to work with you or buy your products or buy your book, right? Like that's just a fact. And so what matters are these relationships that you're building behind the scenes, and that's the loyalty piece. So 5 tips to create content that fosters audience loyalty. If you're listening and you have an opportunity to write this down, I highly recommend that you grab a notebook and a pen and you write this shit down. If you are driving or on the run, then just bookmark and make sure you get back to this, because I'm offering some tips that are really going to change the game and change the way in which you create content. So tip number 1, and this is huge, okay, it all begins with this, is to focus on the people, not the numbers. It's so easy for us to start obsessing about numbers. I mean, social media was built for this. Social media was built to create these dopamine hits. You know, we get these hits of dopamine every time we see a like, every time we see a heart, every time we see, you know, new followers and new comments. Don't get caught up in that. Understand that behind every single like and every single view is a fucking human being, right? Like, I can't stand it when people say, oh, my last video only got 5 views. And it's like, that's 5 people, right? When people say, oh, my last post only got like 20 likes. And it's like, that's 20 people. If you're standing in a room with 20 people, wouldn't that matter? Or would that not matter at all? Same with if you're standing in a room speaking with 5 people, would that not matter? That shit matters. So focus on the people, not the numbers. Tip number 2 is to share daily. So notice how I say the word share, not connect, create content or share content daily. No, just share daily. Just share daily. Again, in the words of my dear, dear friend, Dr. Brett, get those reps in, okay? The only way you're going to cultivate a habit of sharing is by doing it daily. Just like we go to the gym, just like we go for runs, just like we eat healthy, we cultivate these habits. So share daily. And if you need help in figuring out what to share, start with the advice I gave to my client. Like, share your biggest insight for the day. What's one thing you learned today? What's one thing you're grateful for today? Tip number 3 is to be real. So share stories, like your personal stories. Share what's relevant in your life. Share your opinions and thoughts on things. Don't be afraid to get personal, okay? Be real. Tip number 4 is to create connection. So if you follow me on social media, especially Instagram, you've noticed that at the end, or maybe you've noticed, I don't know, but at the end of every post, I have a CTA. A CTA is a call to action, and a call to action is exactly that. It's a call to get people to take action. So at the end of every post, I will post like a question, or I'll say, tag a friend who needs to hear this. I really love posting questions because it gets people engaged in a really real way. But the reason I do this is, yes, definitely, I'll admit, this actually helps the algorithm. The more comments and conversations you have, it boosts the algorithm. But people aren't going to comment on shit if they're not connected to it. So the fact that they're commenting means that they are connected. The fact that they're answering the question means that they feel connection to me. So create that connection by adding CTAs to the end of every single post. And then the 5th and final tip is to nurture those connections. So this is really important, because a lot of people will just create the CTAs and they'll forget about nurturing connection. People take the time to answer your questions on social media. People take the time to comment on social media. Okay? So honor them, see them, acknowledge them. You know, really acknowledge them by replying back. Yes, this can be time consuming, and you can create that time. And there are ways for you to do that. That could be a whole other show episode, but the best advice I can offer is, you know, just set aside time each day for that and call it like your engaging time. Time for you to engage with your audience. Time for you to have conversations with your audience. Because that's really important. You can't just create that connection and then let it go. That's not audience loyalty. They want to hear from you. They want to connect with you. And as a leader, you should want to connect with them too. Okay. Otherwise, you're in the wrong fucking industry. So nurture those connections. So I'm going to recap those 5 tips to create content that fosters audience loyalty. Number 1, focus on the people, not the numbers. Number 2, share daily. Get those reps in. Number 3, be real. Share real stories. Share what's relevant in your life. Get personal. Number 4, create connection by using CTAs. And number 5, nurture those connections. Look, it's really easy to follow people. It's also really easy to unfollow people. So what matters is the loyalty. What matters is that you show that you really care about your audience. Refuse to just be a content churning machine and refuse to create content for the numbers or for the algorithm. And instead, use social media to get social, share, and create those connections, and then nurture those connections. Now, since it is, at the time of recording this episode, it is January 27th, which is the day after the tragic, tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi. I want to end things with a quote from Kobe. "It's the one thing you can control. You are responsible for how people remember you or don't. So don't take it lightly." It's a beautiful quote from a beautiful human being who is being mourned very much by many people all over the world. But I felt like that quote was really aligned with what we're talking about today, because people will remember how you make them feel. People will remember the fact that you took the time to connect with them. People will remember feeling seen and heard and understood by you or acknowledged by you. So don't take leadership lightly. You know, if you're in this to lead, then be that leader. Create those connections. Share. Let yourself be seen, and in that, see your audience. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Today's Thought Leader, where I am challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. Please be sure to download a few episodes and drop a rating and review on iTunes. And if you have a question about this episode, or you want to share with me your number one takeaway, because I love hearing these, I love hearing about your takeaways, shoot me a text. The number is 1-781-336-0160. And remember to mention the episode number so I know which episode you're referring to. This number will be in the show notes, as will my social media. So if you want to get social, my handle is @IamRuby. So all of that and more will be in the show notes. Check them out. And then make sure you check back on Monday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader, where Polly Ting and I dive into the challenges that come with authenticity and truth-telling. We might have gotten a little philosophical in that episode, but it's a really deep one. And quite frankly, we talk about how hard it can be to tell the truth. So make sure you tune into that. Thank you so much, thought leaders. I look forward to seeing your texts, and I will see you back here next week for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader.